A very warm welcome to everyone to church this morning on this Lord's Day. And if you don't know who I am, I'm the Reverend John Wilson. I'm a member at St. Luke's and the former minister of Temple Annisland in Glasgow. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are covered with shame. Let us worship God in our opening item of praise, which is in Mission Praise 1008, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. Let us now come and bring our hearts together as we pray to the Lord our God in heaven. Let us pray. O glorious and wonderful God, we come on this day to your house, rejoicing that through your fatherly love and care, we are able to enjoy this day. Help each one of us to spend this day as we should, by resting from our daily work and thrusting our whole lives into the worship of God. Father, you are all-knowing and all-seeing, and you know all our sins and our faults because nothing is hid from your eyes. So we ask you to release us from all unrighteousness and hypocrisy and give to us humble and truthful hearts to confess our sins to you. We are aware how the healing waters will never cease to flow to wash away our sins. Give to us your peace and strength as we face the trials which are ours through faith. Lord, we thank you that you enable us daily, though tested, to overcome through Jesus. So as we come, we do not plead for ourselves because we think that we are good. But we know that because of your everlasting mercy revealed in Christ, you will forgive us. We thank you for your forgiving love. We ask you for your gracious Spirit that comes to us in our need. Almighty God, you know our needs before we even ask and our ignorance sometimes in asking. Set us free from all anxious thoughts for tomorrow and give us a contentment with the gifts that are ours and for all the things that we have. Strengthen our faith as we seek your kingdom, in the knowledge that you will ensure that we will not lack anything. Therefore, provide us with what we need and encourage us in our faith so that we will be aware of your fatherly love. All our desires are known to you. Therefore, make us perfect in your Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, young folk and children, it's lovely to see you. I brought two things with me this morning I want to show you. And can you tell me what you think it is? Yes. It is a walking stick, but it's more than a walking stick. Yes. Yes, it's a shepherd's crook. It's a shepherd's crook. This is one I bought. And shepherds use it for all kinds of things. They lean on it, especially when the dog's at their side. And if they're trying to catch a sheep, you laugh, that's how they do it. They catch them by the hind leg and bring them in, and they've got hold of the sheep. That's one. I brought another one. And this one, this was given to me in a present. Now, you'll notice it's much fancier, isn't it? This was just a kind of plain blob at the end. But here, I've got a beautiful thistle at the end of mine. And this was given to me by a member of my congregation when I left the borders. And it was actually made by a man in the congregation. And so, you know, it's wonderful. When I was in the borders, I had three congregations and five buildings to look after. And in some areas of my parish, I had more sheep than people. And so I learned quite a bit about shepherding when I was there. And it's important to remember, the shepherd cares very much for his sheep. And they look after them. Even if they're away up in the hills, they go out and check that they're okay. And there was a time when this was an important thing, because if you've got hill sheep, hills are hard to climb. But their stick was there. And now, they don't use this so much. They just carry it in the back of their quad bike as they shoot up and down the hills. They don't walk up and down as they used to. But you know, it reminds us that Jesus was often described as the good shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd, and he loved his sheep. And in the Bible, when we talk about sheep, it's actually us. We're the sheep. And Jesus is the one who is the shepherd who watches over us. He is the one who gathers us together. He's the one who's watching over us. He's the one to help us. Because when a shepherd goes out to look at his sheep, it's to see if any of them are ill. And I'll tell you a tip. If you see a sheep on its back, stop and try and get it on its feet. Otherwise, it'll die. If a sheep lands on its back, it won't survive. So if you see one, run into the field and turn it over, and it'll survive. If you don't, it's going to die. That's just a wee tip. You know, as you're driving through Glasgow, you might see a sheep. But you know, God's love is such a wonderful thing, that he loves us so much that he is our shepherd. And we need to remember that he is our shepherd. And sometimes, you know, boys and girls, somebody might come to your school who's lonely. And to be a good person and a good Christian person, go and make a friend of that person who's on their own and gather them in. Because there's nothing worse than a wee sheep lying in by itself away over here and the whole flock's here. They need to be together to be one. And that's why we're all different. And isn't it wonderful? We're all gathered in here. This is God's sheep pen. And we're all gathered in, which is absolutely wonderful that God is there and watches over us. So remember, the Lord is our shepherd. That's what we sang about. And we see and discover a great deal about his love. And I trust you'll remember that. And I'm going to borrow this just for a second, because we're now going to sing together our next hymn in Mission Praise 750, What Kind of Love Is This? Thank you. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. And we turn to the New Testament in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading there from verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading from verse 1. Let us read the Word of God. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and to his name be all the praise and the glory. As we approach to study God's word, let's sing together in hymn number 559, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your people. People that you love, people that you care for, people that are important to you. Lord, help us now as we turn to your word. Lord, speak to us through that word, that we might be drawn closer to you and experience your amazing and wonderful love. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last week, from the despondency of the crucifixion on the Friday to the joy of the glorious resurrection last Sunday was exciting. But for some of us, we might have been totally unaware of the events in Sri Lanka, where 250 Christians worshipping and holidaymakers in hotels were killed by extremists, and over 500 were injured. We saw the news footage of the extremists who were perpetrating their vile crime. And then just on Friday there, we learned of 15 more people having been killed, killing themselves actually, because they were in one of these bomb-making centres. And just before I came out, one person killed and three injured in San Diego, where someone opened fire in a synagogue this morning. Fighting. Fighting is not a new activity that only arrived today. John Calvin, living in the 16th century, in his commentary, talking about the Pharisees and comparing them to Jesus, said, "This warning has been very useful in every age. Today it is especially necessary. There is no plague so destructive to the church than wolves go about under the mask of shepherds." There are evil people around seeking to destroy those who love and follow Christ. And if we consider these verses 1 to 10, it identifies what Calvin is talking about. So from these verses we see our lives are under siege, as we have seen in the horror and carnage that we have just mentioned. Many people in their lives day by day are being challenged. Do they deny a religious affiliation to a church or not? Do we challenge others or say nothing when we are unhappy about what is said? We see the idolatry nature of men and women who worship many things other than God. They worship the house, the car, the job, the family, membership of maybe a very special and exclusive club. These sometimes all take priority over Jesus. Our communities face the challenge of society, where some people take revenge into their own hands in some violent ways, as we have seen in the recent case in the High Court in Glasgow. Yes, they say the knife culture and gun culture is getting less, but it's still there. Murder, rape, sexual harassment are still a constant threat. But here in Jesus' parable, he points out that robbery was as prevalent then as it was today. Jesus, as we reminded ourselves, submitted to his death on the cross. He was there, yes, with the thieves. The truth is, they're sometimes barely remembered. But everyone remembers Jesus was on the cross, that he was crucified. And those of us who trust him and follow him sometimes need encouragement. Sometimes we become despondent because things are not going well. We need encouragement because our lives are under siege from many different quarters in society. The disciples then were concerned, as we know, even after the resurrection. What they found, and what we also know, is that Jesus did not leave them isolated. And nor does he do that to us. He's with us in every single situation that we have in life. And so Jesus then seeks to guide us through this parable about the shepherd and his sheep. He describes how a thief or robber or a rustler seeks in to steal sheep. And he rightly points out that they will not come to the entrance or the door or the gate. They'll sneak in another way. It's maybe helpful to note that the construction of a sheep pen at that time, the walls round about it were 8 feet high. And there was a door or a gate at the entrance. And at the gate was either the shepherd, or one of the shepherds, or a hired shepherd to look after the sheep, someone employed by them. We also learn how, he says, the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and they would only follow him and no one else. Now, a reminder to us that amidst the myriad of voices we hear, the one voice that we ought to listen for, and the one voice we ought to respond to, is the voice of Jesus. We must realize that Jesus commands. He commands our wholehearted allegiance and our unreserved devotion. And that's why it's important that we read and we study God's word to allow God to speak to us. Because it's through him that we draw closer to God. And through that we experience his love. And we can then devote ourselves to him. He gives us the strength that enables us to love him more and more. I read a story of a young woman. And she read a book and declared it was the dullest book she had ever read. Sometime after that, she met a young man. And as time went on, the relationship developed into love and an engagement took place. And her fiancé, Howard, was visiting her home. And she said, "I've got a book in my library and the author's got exactly the same name as you. Surely that's a coincidence." Her fiancé said he did not think so because he was the author of the book. The author, Dr. Howard Pope, was telling the story, and he completed it when he said, "The young lady then reread the book. She said it was the best book she had ever read." Why? Because she knew and she loved the author. Do we love God enough to think that the scriptures are the best library of books that we have ever read? If we claim to be Christ followers, then we need to love that book, because it tells us all about the one that we love. Oh yes, we may be under siege, but the Bible is the means through which he speaks to us day by day. And from this passage, we find ourselves looking at two of the I Am passages. One about the Good Shepherd, and the other about Jesus being the door or gate. Jesus initially describes himself as the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd." And the sheep in the parable follow their shepherd, and so we are encouraged to follow our master. And the Lord Jesus watches over us no matter our circumstances, because he is always there. Let's focus our attention for a moment on that phrase, I am the good shepherd and I am the gate. As I said earlier, my first parish, I learned a great deal about farming and shepherding. And that phrase, I am the good shepherd, reveals the sovereignty of God. Some might ask, what's the connection between shepherding and sovereignty? Well, that's revealed in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 and verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God. And then again in Ezekiel 37, verse 24, my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. And therefore we can see that there is a link between the shepherd and the sovereign God. The way a shepherd looks after his sheep is a reminder of the way God cares for us. There's a tenderness. There's a concern in the way that shepherds care for the sheep. God is watching over us even now. I can think back to one day when I was visiting a farm at lambing time, and you didn't have to knock doors there. You just walked in. And I walked into the kitchen, and there was a lamb lying in the hearth in front of the coal fire. As I looked round, there was another lamb in the oven of the aga with the door open. I hastened to add, the door was open. Another was lying on an old child fire guard with a heater underneath it. They were being cared for. They were weak. And they were being cared for. And then when they were ready, they would be put outside. You see, the shepherd cared for his sheep. He wanted to look after them and care for them. And in this passage, we are introduced to the theme of the shepherd and the sheepfold. And we're reminded that the land where they were living was more suited to pastoral farming with livestock rather than arable farming. In Palestine, the shepherd faced the elements of danger, wild animals, thieves, poachers. He had to watch and protect his sheep. Those who heard Jesus speaking were familiar with the life and style he was about to use as that illustration. In it, he was seeking to reveal his own relationship to God and God's relationship with those who truly believe. There are four things to note here. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. The good shepherd is more than a hired hand. The good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. The good shepherd is the gate to eternal life. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. In today's society, sheep are reared mainly for food, whereas in Palestine, they were raised for their coat, for their fleece. And this was spun into wool for a loom. So we can see that the sheep were kept for quite some time, and they would know the shepherd and he knew them. Occasionally today, sheep are given names, but not if you've got a huge flock. But it's interesting there in verse 3 where it says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. We find elsewhere in Scripture that there were those who heard Jesus call their name and they followed. We remember the time when Jesus called Andrew and Simon, later to be called Peter. And then he called James and John. And then there was Matthew. And they listened and they followed. And so the Christian who hears the voice of God and is willing to follow wherever he or she may be led are trusting. Because we have a loving, caring God who sees us as individuals, not just as a congregation. We're all different. But we're all one in Christ. How different that is to today. How often are you a number? How often are you not a person? In the health service, we're a number. But in our own surgery, we're a person. In the bank, we're an account number, not a name. And in some cases, the people behind the counter don't even know who we are. I recall on one occasion, a lady in my congregation, a maiden lady, who was applying for a grant. And a friend of her was helping her, and they were filling the form in till they came to the part that said, "How much do you have in the bank?" And not filling it in anymore. Her friend tried to persuade her, and she said, no, I'm not filling it in. So her friend said, "Well, if the minister comes and fills it in, will that be all right?" "Yes." So I was sent for, and I duly filled in the form. And the very last question about finance said, "How much money have you got in the bank, in the house?" And I said, "Well, come with me." So she opened this drawer and took out a wee bundle. And we went round and we opened another drawer and brought out another bundle. And then we pulled out a case from underneath the bed and we brought out another bundle. And there was quite a sum of money. And I said, "You know, really, that should be in the bank, not in the house." "Do you think so?" "Yes." "Right, will you do it?" I said, "Okay." So I took these bundles of money and I went round to the bank. I went in and asked for the bank manager, who knew me because I was a customer. He knew me because he was the treasurer of the church. And he also knew the customer. And I explained what had happened. I said, "I don't know how much is there." He counted it, and I gave him the bank book, and he put it in. We were able to carry out a transaction on that occasion. I was not a number, nor was she. We were individuals. That's how well we are loved by God. The postscript to the story was when I went back and gave her a bank book, she said, "Oh, I found this in my penny pocket." It was another £200. In God's eyes, we are not a number. We are individuals whom he loves and cares for, just as we love and care for each other. And here in the church, we support families by helping parents to teach their children and young people about Jesus. The door is open for all to come in and to enter. And as I look round, God knows each and every one of you. He knows us by name. If we are in a crowd and everyone around you is talking, we can often hear our name being called out and we'll turn round. If you're a parent, you will often identify your own child when they're crying or you hear their voice in a playground of children. You recognise your own child's voice. God knows our voice and he knows who we are. If we trust God and love him, and have surrendered our life to him, we will recognize his voice speaking to us. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and they know his voice and respond to him. The passage then goes on to reveal that the good shepherd is more than a hired hand. At that time there were two types of shepherd, the ones who owned the sheep and those who were hired maybe to do the night shift and watch the sheep at night and sleep over the door. The one had a vested interest in the sheep and the other didn't. The one who was paid to look after the sheep either at one of these times didn't care too much about the sheep. He was just doing what he had to do. And why would he care? He wouldn't put his life on the line against a wolf or a bear or another wild animal that should come along. But the good shepherd would not run away because they care for their sheep. For the sheep, there's a sense of security. Because they know that they will be looked after. A good shepherd, especially in arid lands, will always reach out for good pasture. He will look for water for his sheep, reminding us of the words that we sang earlier today. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And so it is that as a shepherd looks after the sheep, God looks after us. If things seem to go wrong, maybe we need to look to ourselves rather than blaming God. If our faith is challenged, we know that God is with us and will not abandon us. He will be there to help us face our enemies. He will stand with us. He will fight with us. He provides for our safety. He is the good shepherd and not the hired hand. We also learn that the good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. The hired hand may disappear, but the shepherd of the sheep would be willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He would not be deviated from the task of protection. We remember the other parable Jesus told of the shepherd who lost one sheep out of 100. And they said to him, don't bother, you know, you've got 99 left, so why bother about the one? But the shepherd went to get the one and rescued it and brought it back. When we come to Jesus, our Saviour, he has been willing to lay down his life for us. For him there was no alternative. Jesus was willing to die sacrificially. Someone put it well when they said, in his death, Jesus was not the victim, he was the victor. But there's an interesting phrase slipped in here at verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. God cares for those who will not recognize him. He's encouraging those who hear this to see that there are others who are in need. There are others who still need to know God. We're encouraged to reach out with the gospel to those who have not heard. That's not about mission abroad only. There's a mission field on our own doorstep. For others here, we need a harvester. In Matthew 9, we read, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he, that's Jesus, said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That's you and me. We are the harvesters. This passage reveals compassion for the people he saw and how, as a shepherd, he looks after his sheep as he looks after those who love him. We are aware that Jesus was prepared to and did lay down his life for the sheep. William Hendrickson, in his commentary, said, the Father gave the Son unto death. The Son gave himself. Jesus came and lived among us. He set us an example, and he died in our place. And so you and I can either accept or reject that example. But we ought to remember that he sacrificed his life. His death was faced on our behalf. Do we accept it, or do we walk away? That's a question only you and I can answer on our own. The hired servant that ran away was willingly gave himself for us. Jesus was no coward. The great I Am is our shepherd collectively. But are you willing to let Jesus be the shepherd of your life? We also note that Jesus is the door through which we must pass. Salvation is found in no one else, it says in Acts 4. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The door to our home normally is a protection from people entering our home uninvited. Although, as we saw earlier, a thief will try and seek in some other way. But the door is not only protection. It's a means whereby you and I can invite someone into our home and have fellowship and friendship with them. I know that, like us, you probably enjoy having friends in for a meal or an evening. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of sharing. We welcome them in and we enjoy their company. Jesus is knocking. Jesus is knocking on the doors of people's hearts. But they have to open the door, because only they can let him into their lives. And finally, for Christians, the road to life leads through death. For us, that Christian life is only possible through the death of Jesus on the cross. For us, it leads to death of self-indulgence. So many people love the open road that leads to more exciting things. But when it's done, it's forgotten. Not necessarily long-lasting. There are some who start out in the road of the Christian faith and commitment, and then they fall by the wayside. But positively, when we put an end to all of this, there's a new road. Yes, it's a narrow road, but it leads to a better and more fulfilled life. It leads to a road that ends in eternity for those who love the Lord. There's a hymn that says, "When the road is tough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon me. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon him." Are our eyes fixed upon Jesus? As we remembered last week, he died and rose again. Are we going to let his suffering for us be just something that he did for the world? Or did he do it for you? And did he do it for me? Was his resurrection to show God's love and power for nothing? Was the miraculous not miraculous? In verse 10 we read, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus' promise of abundant or everlasting life begins in the here and now. Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, a life overflowing with meaningful activities under the power and favour and blessing of God in continual fellowship with his people. Is that your life? Is that my life? Jesus went through the door of death and returned to then go through the door to eternity, where he remains, or until he returns again. The Good Shepherd is the door for us that leads to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that indeed you are our God, you are our Shepherd, you do care for each and every one of us. Lord, be near us now and watch over us in all that we seek to do. And may we bring glory and honour to your name. Amen. Let us sing together in Mission Praise 3, in Hymn 355, "You, Lord, are both Lamb and Shepherd. You, Lord, are both Prince and Slave." Let us pray. For a moment, let us sit in silence to clear our thoughts and let God speak to us through our prayers. We come, Lord, to praise you, but also to share with you the needs of many people who cannot or will not pray for themselves. We thank you for the wonderful provision for us, as we are nourished physically by food and spiritually by your word. Lord, we present to you these, our offerings, a measure of our love and our care for you. And so, Father God, as we remember others, we remember the young people in our congregation, some of them now starting their exams for that are very important to them, their national fives and various other things. Lord, be with them. We thank you for the message of your saving love for us in Jesus, for the light of his life and the power of the cross, the glory of his kingdom and the call of the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Lord, never depart from those who seek you, but remain with them. Speak to them through the word of God. We pray for the situations in the world where there's pressing need. And we do think of the folks in Sri Lanka, in San Diego, of people who have been affected by Cyclone Kenneth in Mozambique, for a shooting in Northern Ireland. Lord, we don't want to go back that way again. Lord, during your time on earth, the sick were brought to you so that they might be healed. And we know that you sent no one away. Father, look upon those who seek your healing and blessing, and may they feel it within them. Father, we pray that they might not return unhealed, but say thank you for your healing power. And we do remember Fergus and Gabrielle and the family. Father, continue to reach out to them. We thank you for their love, for the love of this congregation, for the spiritual ministry that they offer. Lord, be near them, and may they know your peace. Lord, give us a faith that can move mountains. Help us never to be afraid, because it may bring blessings to us, that we may honour your name. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Just before our closing hymn, I will not be standing at the door very long, as I'm due at Poldernock. So, I've done it before in my three parishes, and hoping the police were not around as I was driving. And just maybe a wee word, if you don't mind, to my wife, could you pick up the crooks? We close our service by saying hymn 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Go out into the world in peace and in love, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Great Shepherd, be with each one of us this day and forevermore.